Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin, coming to you Sunday morning after the Warriors handle the Washington Wizards, handle barely a game where the Warriors, I think, were favored by 14 points and trailed for a lot of this until they were able to finally pull through and towards the end ended up winning by 8, but definitely a little too close for comfort. But at least they didn't get upset like the other game I was watching where the Detroit Lions got hugely upset by another Washington team and the Commanders. So I was watching both at the same time. But I was, watching the Warriors, and it's good to see. My first thought is, hey, Steph is finally settled into the season. Another game scoring kind of mid upper 20s in points. He had 26. He's most importantly, he's finishing inside, inside the 3-point arc. 2-point percentage is much better this year. We've talked about that a bunch. My other thoughts are that Steph Curry, he's shown up, he's ramped up for the season. But I was hoping this wouldn't have to happen until we're talking like end of February, early March, when the Warriors were just kind of in a fourth or fifth place position, and then Curry could finally start basically ramping up for the playoffs. It seems a lot like the last couple of years where Curry's had to basically, don the cape of a superhero and really will this team to some victories, in early to mid-January. And then we saw in both of the last couple of seasons him just kind of run out of gas towards the postseason and as well into the postseason. So we'll see how much he can handle. He's obviously another year or two older than those years. And, he's playing great, and we'll see if he can find a way to pace himself and not have to be logging. I think it was another 34 minutes last night. I think Steve Kerr and I would like to get him back down closer to 31, 32 minutes on most nights, but we just don't have that option. Also left with a left, thank God, left ankle injury. Just seems like he tweaked it. So Kerr said it's not serious. I think he should be okay, but we'll see if he plays against Boston. Draymond Green, on the other hand, not so lucky. Left with that same calf injury that he's been kind of lingering. And I don't know if it's connected to the lower back, which was the case when he missed a lot of time a few years ago. But not a good sight for him to leave 3 minutes into the game and clearly limping, clearly re-aggravated something in that calf. It's probably going to be a couple weeks just to really make sure he's fully healed. And we will see. The Warriors are very thin in that front court as it is. Obviously, they were able to somehow eke out a win last night against the Wizards. But yeah, without Kuminga, Kyle Anderson's still out. I mean, he should be back pretty soon. Without Draymond. But fortunately, TJD and Looney were able to combine for 28 rebounds in this. And 10 offensive rebounds between the two of them. So, they're shoveling their weight, but again, I don't think it's too sustainable. But all in all, good game for the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins, player of the game, another good two-way effort. And he was a monster on the glass, 11 rebounds, even had 4 assists. So, really making plays, really shouldering the load. Team high 35 minutes played, and obviously those 31 points. Really nice to see. Anytime Wiggins is scoring 30 points, you just love to see it. Wiggins, another guy, you'd love to see this, but, he's also, you're asking a lot out of Wiggins, and just a lot of just usage on both ends of the court, defending player, team's other best players. So, again, hope he can also sustain, but again, he's what, 9 years younger than Steph Curry. So I believe Wiggins can maintain. And then lastly in this game, Schroeder, 20 points. Seems to be a number that, if Schroeder's going to give us 18 to 20 points, that's just something we're going to have unless Buddy Hield has it going, which he did not last night. So you got to have some points and some playmaking from Schroeder. And it was also efficient 50% from the field. All right. Well, that was the recap on the game, but I want to talk a little bit more about Jordan Poole, which, couple years removed, I didn't think I would have to nor want to talk about Jordan Poole anymore, but it was an interesting game last night. I mean, Poole obviously had a great game, 38 points, basically turned Chase Center into a pool party at times. From pregame to postgame, just kind of seeing old friends, old teammates, old staff. Gary Payton II untied his shoe in the pool shoe in the middle of the game, just kind of messing with each other. You can tell there's a lot of love between the two sides. At least most of the players, to use Jordan's quote after the game, saying that he loves all the guys on that side. Well, most of them. And he actually even got an apology on social media from Draymond Green saying, hey, I really am so sorry. You know, I'm sorry too, because I'm going to do like a little thought experiment here. If I guess we'll say the punch never happened, if Jordan Poole was still a Warrior, you know, what would this team even look like at this point? And I know we're making a lot of assumptions here, and you're going to assume that him and Draymond could have coexisted and nothing else would have flared up. So assume that those two could have just, you know, gotten along and even become friends and gotten past any incidents they had. What would this lineup really have looked like over the last couple of years leading up to this year? Well, first, let's look at the year, you know, of the punch and just kind of give you my take on what I thought about that year. I don't condone what Draymond Green did by any case. You know, he should not have punched Jordan Poole. He broke Jordan Poole's spirit, his just whole attitude on that season. And I spent the majority of that season upset at Jordan Poole for his play on the court. I just thought that he wasn't a winning player on both sides of the ball. He was inefficient on offense. He didn't shoot well. He took terrible shots, bad shot selection, a lot of turnovers. Obviously, he could score and create, but I just thought offensively he was really hurting us. You even saw times where, you know, Steph Curry was screaming at him, throwing his mouthpiece. just very upset at some of the decision-making that we were getting out of him. He just didn't look very engaged nor into the season. He looked content coming off of a championship, content getting paid, and just basically in his feelings about getting punched in the face by Draymond, which I can understand. Again, I do not condone what Draymond did. I think that Jordan Poole was probably mouthing off and saying a lot of things that, you know, many people, including Draymond Green, would have hit him for. But again, Poole was broken and it was Draymond's fault. On the defensive side of the ball, Jordan Poole was just an absolute abomination. Not that he was a great defender or even a decent defender beforehand anyways, you know, very weak, undersized, quick, very quick enough to stay in front of guys, but he just didn't seem to care enough to do it. Just not a winning defensive player, would fall asleep a lot off ball, would fall asleep a lot on ball. There were a lot of things that I just could not stand about Jordan Poole in that specific season. The year before, much better. Obviously, we won a championship. Again, his defense wasn't great, but it was good enough to be a championship trophy raiser. So that was kind of my take. I thought as soon as that season was over, I put a ton of blame on Jordan Poole. I put a lot of blame on Draymond Green, but more so my anger was just night in, night out, just the effort I was getting out of Poole. And, you know, when essentially in the offseason, when Dunleavy shipped him off for Chris Paul, and just to get off of Poole's contract, I was okay with it. I thought that the team was broken. You had to get rid of Poole because you weren't getting rid of Draymond Green. And that's kind of where I stood. Okay. So I was happy to get rid of Poole. You can debate that all you want, but that was my take. I kind of look at the game kind of more from a coaching standpoint. So when I'm getting a player that doesn't seem to want to be there, doesn't seem to want to play a role, play defense, take good shots, make good decisions, that's what irks me personally. But looking at what Jordan Poole does bring to the table, and it's not as much last year with the Wizards. He had a really rough year last year, and it was looking smart to get rid off of that contract. But he's been much better this year, and what he brings offensively is exactly what the Warriors need. It's just that shot creation, it's ball handling, it's being able to get to the free throw line, knock them down. It's just another ball handler that could essentially do a lot of the dirty work that Steph Curry's having to do just to create and be the engine of this offense. You know, Poole can be the engine of an offense, and I know it's a 6-win team, but you know, he gives you a lot that, although inefficient, it's just something that the Warriors have needed. You know, that's why you got a Dennis Schroeder, right? We know Schroeder, like Poole, shoots 43% from the field goal, from on his field goal percentage, but you just need it because something, you got to get some kind of scoring, even if it's inefficient, you need some volume scoring. Most importantly, Poole, and this was my biggest problem with him, is that he thought he was a shooter and his career was like a 33% three-point shooter, which is not good enough considering the shots he took and how many he shot. But fast forward to this year, and I think he's shooting, what, 40.7% from three. If that's the evolution he's going to make, and you know, you put that into this lineup, say instead of Schroeder, now you're getting a I mean, he's scoring 21 points this year. It wouldn't be quite as much usage with the Warriors and on a contending roster. So, you know, say you're getting your 19, 20 points from Poole like he used to, but spacing the floor, knocking down threes, and more important, just generating offense. And I mean, he's like 4.7 assists per game. That's, you know, that's what you're hoping for out of Schroeder. Plus the ability just to kind of create more spacing than Schroeder does. And that would really free up this offense a lot. Would it make this Warriors team a couple wins better? Probably not, especially because I'm on the defensive end, which, I mean, has anyone watched much Jordan Poole defense this year? I really honestly couldn't give you an honest evaluation of it, but the fact that they're 6-34 probably tells a story. So that all being said, you know, what would this team have put around a Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and a Wiggins core of four, right? Personally, I think given the defensive struggles, this team would have had to have added a big, a rim protecting big, someone that can protect, you know, when you're playing Curry and Poole at your guard positions, you have to have someone that can protect the rim behind because you just don't have any point of attack defenders outside of Wiggins. And don't get me wrong, Wiggins and Draymond is a great three and, you know, four slash stretch five behind that, but you would need an upside big rim protector behind that, either as your starter or as just off the bench and just playing kind of supplementary minutes and, you know, logging 20, 25 minutes behind each to protect them. So that's a piece that would have needed to happen. Realistically, I think you're still in the same issue where you need a stretch five, just for this team to have enough offense, just to give enough spacing for everyone to work. You know, you're attacking the hoop with Jordan Poole. You, obviously, Steph Curry, you want as much spacing as possible. So I think you still run into the same problem. And where I'm, what I'm getting at is that, you know, is Kuminga your four with that lineup and Draymond at the five? Or would you have traded Kuminga for Markkanen or Karl Anthony Towns or something like that, where you're getting a little more size to protect the rim, but then you're also getting still an offensive output? If we're building a team that we say, hey, this team would have contended, this team would have, you know, been up, you know, up there with the Thunder and maybe just, you know, the Rockets and Nuggets of the world, I would have built it like this. I would have, you know, say you're signing Jordan Poole for $30 million. So you're kind of running low on money. You would have had to trade Kuminga. You had to go get Markkanen at, I think it was $18 million. I think you could still afford that. And now you're putting out a lineup of Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond at the four, and Markkanen at the five. That's a very, very, very good offensive lineup. And I think defensively, it has enough size and athleticism to compete. I don't really know what the depth would have been behind that because all your money's tied up in your starting offense, or sorry, in your starters. But how many wins does that team win right there? I mean, that team probably pushes 55 wins just on the offense alone. And we've seen that when engaged, a defensive effort led by Draymond Green, you know, with just a ragtag bunch of pieces, and you kind of saw it last year, you know, it didn't seem like a good defensive lineup, but it was still a top 10 defense when Draymond was in the lineup. I think it's enough. But again, who knows? It could have just been a whole bunch of blow by perimeter, just mismatches with Curry and Poole just getting blown by, and teams just, you know, unloading the clip on open kickout threes from there. So, you know, that's basically what I think we would have been looking at if Jordan Poole had still been a Warrior. I honestly think it's for the best, and clearly, obviously, because of the social dynamic between Poole and Draymond, it had to happen. If we're talking, hey, if we had gotten rid of Draymond, I'm just thinking out loud here. I haven't even thought really what that would look like. You're putting a Curry, Jordan Poole, Wiggins, Kuminga lineup. I don't know what you would have done at big. You probably just go get some, like a Robert Williams, just some kind of defensive, just, you know, no offense, just straight defensive rim protector. And you hope you can throw lobs to him, and you're just hoping he's protecting the rim and just cleaning up the mess behind. I don't think that team's very good, honestly. I just think the defensive spirit on that team is broken, even though it'd be fun to watch. some pretty inefficient offense also, to be honest. So anyways, I guess I'm not giving you guys very many clear answers, but it's just kind of a thought experiment. Like, hey, what if Jordan Poole was still a Warrior? How would we look? I think the answer is that this team would not have been competitive, just like kind of the current situation, unless there was another big trade made and you cashed in your chips. But for now, I like having Kuminga on the roster. I like that this team seems to get along as is. I like that we still have Draymond Green, even though he's been out and we've been winning so far, but Draymond's still the heartbeat of this team, and I still love Dre. So I think if it had to unfold all over again, I wouldn't have punched Jordan Poole, but I still think from a front office standpoint, I would have done the same thing. I would have traded Poole's contract, gotten off. You know, sure, he has the potential to be this, you know, 25 point scorer potentially down the road, but he's just still not quite the winning player that you need, especially around Steph Curry, just in terms of all the intangibles that he brings and just the decision making. He's, you know, he's still just a young 25-year-old player, but who knows, maybe in a couple years, you know, he'll mature a little bit more, make better decisions, and get that field goal percentage up closer to like 45%, and then, you know, he could be a winning player on a winning team. But for now, he's withering away in Washington, where they are suddenly now the second best team in the city, and Jaden Daniels is the hoopla of the town. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Hope you enjoy some football tomorrow. We got the Celtics. I don't know if Steph Curry's going to play or not. We'll see how that ankle feels. It's going to be a pretty uphill battle, although the Warriors tend to get up for big games like this. Although without Draymond, without much in the front court, it will be a tough game. But hey, this is the NBA. You shoot better from three and you got a chance to win any game. All right. Well, leave in the comments. Let me know what you guys think of what we should have done with Jordan Poole, how you would have built this roster. You know, say you're going for it this year. What would you have done if Poole was the starting shooting guard? And let's just say you have your picks and potentially like a Kuminga contract to play with. You know, what players would you have gotten to make a lineup like that work around Steph, Dre, Poole, and Wiggins? Okay, as always, hit like, hit subscribe. Until next time, I am Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.